Blog Talk Radio. I, divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You're listening now live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, and revolutionary, healing, and holistic, from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin and the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Sunday, Congo Square Sundays, August 12th, 2012, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai Mecca, Thai Potions, and Hoodoo Central in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this hoodoo obey a spiritualist life path and journey, passing down the great obeya stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. I am humbled and honored by your continued support here live each and every day at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio and always in archive at your leisure and convenience at www.blogtalkradio.com/the Divine Prince and put your hyphen, the little subtraction mark in between the Divine Prince. Our live listening and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I will be more than happy to assist you momentarily as we move forward in the show. This is Congo Square Sundays. We gather each and every Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m., here in this beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana, in Congo Square, and we invite you to be a part of our community, to be a member of our society. We are more than just a drumming circle, if you will. We are a family, and we come together to not only promote community and family, but also to keep the history and legacy that is Congo Square alive. The only place, sacred ground, that we as enslaved Africans were allowed to gather, even before much of the U.S. became the U.S., Congo Square was sacred ground. Before the arrival of the African ancestor and the white man were the Native American ancestors who already existed here, the Choctaw and the home Roma and the various other ethnicities that we now have knowledge of honored this place as sacred ground, just outside the walls of the ancient city of New Orleans, if you will. One time thought of as a wasteland, sacred space that we gather to give reverence, homage, and honor, not only to the divine creators for our life, but also to the divine creators, our ancestors, for giving us continued life. It is within the realm of our ancestors that we come together. It's in the realm of our ancestors that we have clarity. A lot has happened over the last 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years to corrupt our understanding. A part of my mission, a part of my vocation is to bring clarity and understanding, crystalline clarity and understanding. And that requires rising to a vibration, if you will, that transcends religion, that transcends path, that transcends any particular specific house or organization or way of understanding. For it is in that realm of absolute that we find and meet and commune with our creators and our ancestors. There's no fighting, no bickering within the realm of our ancestors. We all have grandparents. We all have great-grandparents. The fear for the African in America, and globally, the Africans embracing ancestral worship, is clarity. And within that clarity of God consciousness is all power. We can debate ATR, African traditional religion. Some of you are asking me, what does that mean? Even in 2012, ATR, traditional African religion. And that's one of the things that I want to talk about today is, as we always talk about, but just in a new way, language and word usage and the role that this has played in our confusion and our continued religious battles, particularly for the African in America. There is even a attempt, if you will, to sort of mesh many traditions together under another word foreign to us, paganism. Again, it is a continuation of either minimizing or doing away with our foundation in the realm of religion and spirituality. For those of you who have been listening since the beginning of my show 3.5 years ago, you've heard me talk about this topic in many facets because it has many facets and how it is presented and rewritten and reworked. But the ultimate trick, the ultimate goal is the same, to either eliminate our place and spirituality, to minimalize it. And this comes around. All things come around. Cyclical, seasonal, process. Every generation has a new battle within the same houses, the same areas. So this is not by any means new. But it is new in that we are in a new time, a new age, new resources, new technology, new forms of enslavement, if you will, new forms of freedom, if you will. So it's always the same thing, but the pieces are all changed around, and the colors are changed, and the uniforms are changed, and the rules are you know, reworked a little bit. But each round should get higher and higher. Each encounter with challenge should, for us individually as well as collectively, bring crystal clear clarity. If I might digress for just a quick moment, if we examine this through the realm of crystal, clear quartz can grow and can form in many directions, many shapes, many configurations. For some of you who are new to crystal, this may be unfamiliar to you. But for some of you who have been looking into crystals for some time now, have seen a few hundred, a thousand, you have a different level of understanding about the complexity of variation. So you may have seen crystals that can form completely whole, but then still penetrate the body of another crystal from one side to the other without losing any of its shape, any of its form, and in many cases, any of its clarity. Other minerals can then penetrate. Sometimes harder minerals will cause a crystal to change shape, to go around or to bypass through a particular hardness, as opposed to, as an example, selenite, where you will find quartz can actually encompass selenite and can almost completely mix. And you can still see the sand-like grains of selenite, but you can still see and feel the clarity and the smoothness of the quartz, and they can form something new. These crystals often will form very beautiful phantoms and agate-layered included quartz stones, where you will have very picturesque-looking scenes made primarily of various minerals, crystals coming together and then recreating something new. So I will often use a lot of crystal symbolism to get a greater point across. So all of our varied avenues to ATR, Akan and Zulu and Yoruba and Lakomi and Heka out of ancient Egypt, out of Kemet, Sangomas out of the south. All these various minerals, if you will, that make up the body of the great Mother Africa have their purposes, have their practices, have their systems. We all have something in similarity, and then as we get down to the surface, there then becomes those very individualistic qualities and quirks and ideas and practices that make us all different. And that is something that we should not work against, but should embrace. And for those of us who are truly operating in the realm of spirit, then it makes the embracing much easier. So there are certain, again, there are certain topics, there are certain arenas of understanding, if you will, that require us to vibrate on a higher level. Otherwise, we go back and forth about details. Details that are relevant in a particular space and time, but they may not be relevant in another space or time. We might handle, you know, crystal work or candle work, you know, or incense work one way if we're using one system, and a different way if we're doing something else or using a different system. So that type of complexity can keep us in debate endlessly. So we have to find a platform, a place above the clamor of discussion and conversation that is absolute and that can then carry us forward in balance, holistically, peacefully, if you will, spiritually. And for us as Africans born here in America, and so again, this applies to everyone on the planet, but particularly for us, because we have a double duty. We have to not only continue to prepare and move forward, but we're still in the process of healing, recapturing, regathering the pieces to the past. And it is through our ancestors that we can find balance. If we can just submit to our ancestors. Now, that sounds simplistic on one hand, but very complicated on another. Because we're still working through impurities that we have picked up in this artificially synthesized, westernized culture, along with its religion, along with its ways of thinking, along with its viewpoints, along with its glaring eyes and opinions of others, along with its governments and taxes and military systems. So nothing is ever as simplistic as it should be under this system. But I encourage you to find the strength to go within and connect with your ancestors. The ancestors cannot be corrupted. The ground can be turned. Something new can be overlaid, but your ancestors exist forever within the DNA coding of your biology. Archaeologists can now piece DNA together and construct history, stories, wisdom, understanding from matter and material. So why is this important? This is important because, again, on the political platform, the social platform, the racial platform, the national platform, we can find a great deal to debate and to argue about, even within ourselves. Even within ourselves, even within our communities, our crystal clear connection to understanding is by way of the ancestors. Now, all of you are looking for the complication. Well, we don't all know our ancestors, and it's not necessary. In the realm of spirit, it is not necessary. Our realm as Africans is spirit. The politics that now surround initiations and travel and language barriers and political barriers and laws and traditions that affect ATR traditional African religion can be overwhelming. That does not suggest that many of us don't get our work done. We do. We learn to navigate, just like we do in Babylon. We learn the system, and we learn to navigate, keeping in mind always self-preservation and the preservation of our families, ours, if you will. But it is in the realm of crystal. And for those of you who've been listening for the last month or so, you know I'm interchanging crystal and DNA together, because if you understand, they are the same thing. Based on the same principles, the same matter of formulation, the mineral mix might be different, the soup, if you will, might be different. But for the most part, we are similar in more ways than we are different. We are animistic by nature. When we go back in culture and history, beyond war, beyond archaeologists, beyond politicians, beyond artificial lines of separation, we go back to animism. And even the word animism has been toyed with over the decades, over the centuries, over the years. Animism is a belief in God, in a creator God, that as a creator God has now birthed creation. So all things within it would possess some aspect of the original parent. Animism, as we know it, is from a Latin word meaning soul or life. And it is a set of belief systems on the existence that all things in creation are spiritual beings. And spiritual beings is a big word. It means many things. Well, what is spiritual beings? Spiritual beings can commune with God. Spiritual beings are a product of God. Spiritual beings can heal, can harm. It gets broad as we then begin to bring in the politics. But when we keep it simple, it is just that all things in creation would have to have spirit energy because they're created by a spiritual creator. Animism encompasses the belief that there is no separation between spiritual and physical or material. And souls or spirits exist not only in human form, but also in animals, plants, rocks, geographic features, mountains, rivers, within creation. Animism may further attribute souls to abstract concepts, such as true names or metaphors in mythology, like Om. Examples of animism can be found in Shintoism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, paganism, neo-paganism, and on and on. So there has always been a love-hate relationship, if you will, in our modern world with animism and what animism is. Now, a Christian author or a Muslim author might be tempted to even interject that animism is a belief in innumerable spirit beings concerned with human affairs and capable of helping and harming human interest. This is the definition by way of the Britannica Encyclopedia, which if you're paying attention to the wings, then a whole nother level of stuff. When we start talking about innumerable spirit beings, and it creates avenues for the arguments that the various world religions sort of keep going back and forth, round and round. You even then begin to see words like tribal, like prehistoric, primitive, words that now for us hold deeply negative connotations and still help to keep animism, if you will, locked into a system of priority with monotheistically understood religions like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam being considered as being more evolved and a quote-unquote paganism or animism being something sort of less involved. Now, my issue with paganism is that, again, in understanding the language and the times that it's being used in, I see today paganism as a ploy, if you will, to, again, eradicate or consume African-based tradition. It keeps it less than, if you will, to the next belief system. Still gives it a lower level of importance, if you will, while still embracing it enough to absorb its finer point. To the point that we now have people of all cultures and religions all over the world claiming mastery and what was and is African-based traditional practices. My issue with the word pagan is the lack of fairness in terms of its power and its usage. When it's a white person embracing African tradition for themselves, it's paganism. When it's a black person in denial of their own religion and their own culture wanting to make a grandstand on Christianity, we use paganism. But we are not seeing any balanced representation ethnically and how these religions are portrayed, as well as in who is now being given platform, if you will, in terms of authors, in terms of television, movies, in terms of representation and recognition. Still dominated by white people. Black people are still only allowed to operate in a very small, confined space, predetermined by white people. And that is Christianity, as ministers, and we all know the various types of ministers. In Islam, to some degree, it's almost expected. A cute test of that is the goddess and Orisha, the goblin. We are often mistaken for Muslims. Now, anyone who, look, if you're on Facebook, you know what we look like. We don't look anything like Muslims. But we're talking about a society of people who have very limited understanding about other cultures, ethnicities, and traditions, or one that has been screwed, I dare say intentionally, to keep the misinformation going. To the benefit of some, and always to the belaboring of black people. Even now, when to Live Person, when I go into Keen, when I go into Desto, 98% are white people. We're talking about the World Wide Web. That would suggest that 98% of the world population were white people. And we all know that that's not true. Those kind of numbers, those kind of statistics can be easily Googled. And it's common knowledge. We all know that that's not true. So why then are we still seeing Sylvia Brown? Why then are we still seeing others who either don't represent us or misrepresent us as being held as experts in our traditions? There's another expert now that's on fraud alert in the Ifa community. Awo Ifasakin, Ojalola Ifasakin posted it in his group as well as on his page. So my page, several other people's page on Facebook. Already charged with other crimes, wanted for other crimes, but touted as an expert in our traditions. And there's some question as to the ethnicity of this person, because it was being suggested that they were one of this person's multiple identities was as a white person, because that would be more readily embraced in the spiritual community. Even in Ifa. Now, fancy that. How much sense does that make to you? So the politically correct language of today is, why can't we just all get along? Why can't anybody who wants to embrace, initiate, buy their way into tourist, voyeuristically participate in any culture they want to, why is that not okay? And I'm not suggesting necessarily that that's not okay, but I am suggesting that there's a clear and obvious imbalance into who has access to do that, who has resources to do that, who has availability to do that, and who that is being made available for and to. And for those of you who like to argue, there's always an example, an exception for or against every rule. Save the phone call. Yes, I know my godmother, Mama Yeye, can go into any room in Cuba and make a head. But it's common knowledge that most black people have no easily readily accessible avenues into that culture and those traditions. But there you have an example. I'm an example of someone who's rarely ever had any negative, as an African-American, encounters with African-born in the States. I would be hard to draw upon a negative encounter that I have had with someone from Nigeria or from Ghana or from Senegal or Benin. But the common knowledge is that African Americans and Africans born on the continent don't get along, have problems, have issues, have conflicts. Can't come together, can't do this, can't do that. So you know, for those of you who your job is to argue, I just cut you off at the knees. There's a exception of someone in any case. I'm sure there's a black exception somewhere out there in the racial groups. in the KKK, you know, what's the comedian's name? Did a whole skit about that. A blind black man who had been leading a KKK family for many years before people realized who he was. So there's always an example. But I'm talking about what is done on a regular basis. Reality. That's how we judge reality. It's what is done on a regular basis. We often overlook the extremes, the examples, the rare occasion when, unless something extreme, you know, or something that on the level of a miracle, you know, we tend to overlook the examples of those who managed to do. And we look for the general representation of a thing. How is it generally approached? How is it generally handled? What is their general opinion? And generalities are often shaped by those in charge. And that can mean different things depending on where we are. I'm being very loose with my words intentionally. You know, each environment often will create its own set of rules. We have an overall governing rule, but then each neighborhood, each community has its own set of rules. Certain neighborhoods you can sit out in America and drink a beer, have a good time. New Orleans is known as one of those cities. Other cities, you know, if it ain't in a brown bag, if it ain't covered, if certain laws are not adhered to, you can be fined, if not jailed. And our language is a part of the problem. I say this all the time. Our use of English, our interpretation of English, our understanding of English, our trying to now operate within traditional African systems and use English at the same time. Even for those of you who, you know, let's say are proficient in Yoruba, but you still have to come back into the English-speaking world at some point. And that shifts time. We've been talking about time and how time works and how time manifests for us. And that within itself is a time shifting. Having to go into something. Catholics used to do it. You go into the church and the cathedral and they're speaking Latin to a congregation of people who do not speak Latin, who are now internalizing a vibration that they are unfamiliar with, and be given an interpretation of that vibration by others within that community, the priests, the nuns, the school system, you know, where the kids might have a little bit more hands-on, you know, these are our prayers, these are the words, these are what they mean. And that has to be approached in all religious systems as we go back to the root. Those of you who have, you know, adopted an Orisha, and that's cute, you know, and you into colors and certain symbols, and you think that personifies, you know, this particular Orisha, this particular energy, this particular thing, because that's what we do now in quote-unquote modern cultures. We sort of pick and choose and borrow and create sort of a gumbo, if you will. But making gumbo has rules. We often say it's about throwing a whole bunch of things into a pot, but anyone who's ever eaten real gumbo, who knows real gumbo, who can make real gumbo, knows that there are rules to making a gumbo. You're not just throwing a whole bunch of stuff into a pot. And while we're trying to make sense of this recipe, we still happen to live in a system, in a culture that supports a very specific thinking and viewing things. And for the African American caught in the middle, this can be challenging. Many don't survive. And there are many ways of not surviving. You know, some just give in to the system. Some find their corner of the system and do their thing and then, you know, try and live as authentically as they can, you know, once they punch the clock. You know, others find a way to incorporate their lifestyle with their living and how they earn their living and have a more liberal, if you will, range to exercise their belief than others based on often very superficial things, complicated but superficial things, education, class, finances, etc. So it's very easy to understand how that then spills over into religious practice and tradition. And we like to look at ATR as something outside of, if you will, the system. And on one level, it, you know, might be. But ultimately, we all have to share this globe that we call Earth and find a way to live and live in harmony with the creation and the Creator, ourselves and each other. I will be back with more of the Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans, Voodoo, Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potions, and Hoodoo Central. This is Congo Square Sundays. We gather in Congo Square at 2 p.m. I will not be there today. So if you are any of my clients or new and you were just happen to stop by, we will be gathering in Congo Square, but I will not be there. I have another engagement, but I will be present at Ashe Cultural Center at 6 o'clock. I want to take just a quick intermission. I will be forward with more of the Power Lunch with the Divine Prince here on Blog Talk Radio, remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing. I can and will be taking your phone calls at area code 347-215-8967. If you do have a question, comment, or request at any time in the show, press the number one on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to assist you. I will be forward. All is indeed a blessing. Asha. I indeed do give thanks and honor for your divine and sacred presence here for the Power Lunch Hoodoo Voodoo Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Son. I want to take the time to clarify before any misinformation, any misunderstanding is crystallized. I am not suggesting that we don't need Nganga. I'm not suggesting that we don't need pots and taurines. I'm not suggesting that they not be done in accordance with tradition. I'm not suggesting that they not be authenticated, if you will. What I am suggesting is that these things don't necessarily reflect our true connection to spirit. You hear me often say, sometimes on every show, I'm a result-oriented practitioner. Any amount of degrees that I may or may not have, any amount of time that I may or may not claim, any legitimacy in altar work that I may or may not have is irrelevant. If those who are seeking change, transformation, healing, prosperity, love are not satisfied, it is important that we follow tradition. It is important that we maintain a smooth and consistent line of tradition and practice. It's important to have guideposts, mile markers, if you will, a point of reference, if you will. But then they just become objects if spirit is not present. If the magic ain't there, then it's just a prop. It's just a costume. It's just a masquerade. I'm not very happy with the usage of the word masquerade now prevalent around the world in describing Egungun ceremonies and Poro societies. The usage of the word costume and masquerade and even carnival to some degree speaks of commercialism, speaks of a performance, if you will. And it makes it easier then for people to divide and speak to what is authentic, what is not authentic, and steal that away for financial and commercial gain. Because we have lost our connection, not just as practitioners, but as the people, to spirit and what spirit is. The Bible, those of you who stand on the Bible, speaks strongly a story in the last days when there will be a man, an antichrist, I believe, who will be able to perform tricks and miracles to impress the people and to impress the crowd and to give symbolism of some divine connection. And I think laden within that story is the understanding or misunderstanding that will be prevalent among people in that time who will have lost their true connection to spirit, who will not know it when they see it, couldn't identify it if it was standing in front of them. And so it makes it easier for us to be beguiled, bedazzled with material things, flashy things, technology, stage performance. Not being able to self-identify spirit. We are spirit beings, just as much, if not more, than we are physical beings. So our ability to connect with spirit is natural, is innate and inherent, came with us through the birth canal into this existence. Our inability to use it, to work with it, comes from our not using it. They say the appendix is evidence of something that we once needed as humanoids that we no longer need. And so we all have one, but it's sort of just there. I think the tonsils are described in a very similar way. It's evidence of something that we once had or needed in the past, but eventually evolved away from or stopped using, and so it disappeared. Or it evidence of it remains, but it's basically not used. And so our connection to spirit is not ancient history. It's not in the past. You know, people believe miracles only happened in the past, in the Bible days, as they say, whenever that was, but not now. And I think we live in a time when more miracles take place than ever. I think some of our technology can be explained as nothing less than a miracle if we can stand back and look at things purely and clearly, engage the timing. My, have we evolved at a rapid pace in a very short amount of time to avoid spirit, giving spirit any credit. Some people will even say it's alien intervention. It's easier to accept alien intervention than it is spirit intervention. It's a part of our folly as intellectual beings. We begin to believe that if it's not scientific, and how we understand scientific, because I'm sure in Burundi, in Congo, their understanding of scientific might be different than yours. And let me say, while it's on my mind, that we must work for Congo. Congo is now, it has been enduring uprisings for some time, so much so to the point that we've become sort of numb to what's going on. But I have been noticing, and I've been trying to scoop them and post them as much as possible, there's a pattern of war going on right now in West Africa. People are really paying attention. Cote d'Ivoire has exploded. Reminiscent of when I was in college in the early 90s, when we had quote-unquote refugees from Cote d'Ivoire, from Ivory Coast, on campus with us. But many of those same conditions, if not worse, are now evident in Cote d'Ivoire. Congo is in the middle of a civil war. Nigeria is under threat of going into a civil war. There is a great upheaval in terms of war and violence and killing and death in Mother Africa, all over Mother Africa, but particularly in West Africa, as in terms of us as children of the diaspora, of Middle Passage, arguing, debating, giving conjecture about theology and principles of religion and spirituality, while our mothers and grandmothers and fathers and grandfathers who birthed these religions are at war. And we're in denial of that. Or we only are aware of it, but, oh, well, what can you do? There's a lot that we can be doing. I think it's outrageous that there are many who are claiming Congo and Nago tradition who are not concerned right now about the killing and the violence that's going on in West Africa. We should be actively on this, not just in our blogs and our posts and our pictures and our shares and our, you know, and finding the news posts and making sure that that information is out there, but in our practice and in our daily, everyday language and in our prayers and in our work. There's more work to be done than just your love and relationship. There's more work that needs to be done than just your investment in hitting the lottery. There's more work that needs to be done. There's enough for all of us who claim authentic connection and practice to these traditions. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be affluent. Don't even have to be well known. If you are listening to me right now, you have access to the internet. If you're listening to me right now, you have a phone. No greater tools are present right now on the planet than those as resources for change. All sorts of change. Financial change, social change, political change, religious and spiritual change. We must start a movement in understanding, interstanding, and practice of ancestral worship. Our past, present, and future lives within our connection to our ancestors. Be Palo, whether you be Candomblé, whether you be Lukumi, Voodoo, Hoodoo, Obia, we are joined at the root of ancestors. Our ancestors can validate. Listen to me. Our ancestors can validate. Our ancestors say who is and who is not. Our ancestors support who they will and block who they will. Our ancestors and our connection to spirit. No greater forces than the creators and our ancestors who now operate from within the spirit realm, but also from within our physical realm through each and every one of us. African born in America, stop seeking validation through others. Stop seeking accreditation through others. Open your eyes, open your ears, be conscious of that which is being done here in your community, in your neighborhood, and support that and build that. If it's not being done, it's because you are not doing it. No more excuses. If you're conscious of what needs to be done, if you're conscious that something needs to happen, if you're conscious of all the complaints and all the problems, then you have already been put in a position birth solution. It is this culture that we live in that supports complainers and whiners and criers, people who get paid to do just that, talk shows and talking heads and tabloids and all the various modes of communicating people's opinions about stuff, and effectively shaping the opinions and the understanding of the masses and those who are too lazy or too busy, too unimpressed to do that for themselves. I don't take pride when people come into my Facebook and say, oh, I've never heard that before. I've never seen that before. You have access to the same thing I have access to. You have access to Google just like I do. You have access to Yahoo just like I do. You have access to libraries just like I do. I don't take any pride, any good feeling in that. It's just a reminder to me that we are too busy, too lazy, or too preoccupied to do the research, to do the work for ourselves. It's amazing to me. I can post a series of pictures with an explanation, and someone will pick the one picture in the group that doesn't have, you know, five explanation, and then ask me, what is this? As if they don't even have the time to click forward, click back. Well, what was the previous post? Well, you know, what's the context in which I'm looking at this? Because we want someone else to do the work for us, to do the explaining for us. If I say this is Poro Society, Google Poro Society. If I say these are Sangomas, okay, then now you need to research what's a Sangoma. It's not cute that you wait for me to answer those questions. This is 2012. We know where the music is. We know where the video games are. You know where the porn sites are. But it can be something simple. Simple. Someone asked me what a libation was. They do libation in church. They do libation in the hood movies where they pour the beer on the ground before they hit the 40. We are not that busy. We are not that occupied. We are preoccupied and busying ourselves with nonsense. Plastic, paper, wood, things that have to be replaced, renewed. No, it's no coincidence that your TVs break down and your electronics, you got to get a new cell phone every year. There's no accident to that. And now you got to keep pushing to afford all that. And I'm not suggesting that you not have stuff. I have too many pictures of the inside of my house online to suggest that. Too many of you have been here to the House of Divine Prince for me to suggest that. But what I am suggesting is that set some priorities and use what you have to get the best optimum result from it. If you're paying for internet, you have computer, you have Windows 7, your systems are up to date and you're not bringing in an income, shame on you. Shame on you. I've been trying to give it away. I've been trying to teach it, share it. People are too busy with other stuff. And then when we have a need, when we have a complaint, we come back to the hoodoo man. And I say, well, beloved, you know, there is a way to not have to cross this big bridge again. Oh, well, that's too much time and too much money and too much in an initiation. And, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. And, but you're still paying tithes. You're still spending gas money, going back and forth, you know, to the church while pastor getting rich. And then your stuff you bring to me. What's going on in your relationship? What's going on in your job? The drama you bring to me. And I'm not being facetious. I have public ratings. I'm good at what I do. I know what I'm talking about. You wouldn't be bringing it to me if I didn't know what I was talking about. Wouldn't be bringing it to me if you didn't think you were going to get some results. And many of the clients and the godchildren, the students that I have are long-term, have been to me for several different things. Many of you practitioners and psychics out there cannot be called upon at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to do anything, let alone for a large number of people, consistently. I'm not challenging your pots. I'm not challenging your Orishas. I'm not challenging your Lawa and your Asan. I'm challenging action spirit. Because spirit needs not any of those things to manifest itself, to produce consistent, continued results. And so, neither do we. They have their place. I have mine. I'm not suggesting that you neglect yours. But without any true, authentic connection to spirit, it's just foolishness and vanity. I will be forward with more of the Power Lunch. Congo Square Sundays here on Blog Talk Radio with the Divine Prince. All is truly and indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, it's all just an illusion. It's all just a test. One of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. Ashe. listen, understand what I'm saying. And this is not going to be very popular. This will actually go against why some of you probably even think that I'm here in the first place. I've never been here to dictate religion. If, whether you be Christian, Muslim, Jew, Lukumi, Voodoo, atheist, doesn't matter to me. Ultimately, in the long run, how is that working for you? How is that working for you? At the end of the day, commit to whatever be your path. But by all means, commit. Commit wholeheartedly and commit in truth. The power and the force of your ancestors and the divine creators alone are enough to make any theology work, or enough to make any path work. Commit authentically and in truth to spirit. Commit to the ancestors, and they will support you and all that you set your hand to do. They will protect you and all that you set your hand to do. Because understand, we are going to be tricked, and we're going to be misguided, and we're going to be disappointed if we continue to put our trust in people alone. There's always going to be a church that's going to upset you. There's always going to be a Lokomi house that ain't doing it right. There's always going to be a Palo practitioner out there ripping people off for their money. Bad people exist, and they are a part of the balance of life for us here on Mother Father Earth. The difference lies in spirit. Now, I found as I continued to grow and to evolve that Christian wasn't for me, was not my path. I had to move forward. Was I committed? Absolutely. Every moment that I was a part of that system. But there does come a time when we must grow. We must evolve. We must answer the call of spirit to do that which we are sent here to do. Your journey is not my journey, and my journey is not your journey. Aye, Bobo, give thanks. Indeed. Be careful about envying the path of another based on external visual signs. Just because it looks good, just because they're driving good, doesn't mean that it's good. And we're living in a time and a day when all things are being shook up to allow for that which is true and authentic to come to the top. Some of you talk about the last day and Armageddon and wars and battles and divisions. We're being sifted. We're being divided right now as we speak by what we do, by what we say, by what we hold on to, by what we feed. And the outcome of that, the sum of that, the product of that, the fruit of that labor is our existence, our place in the world, our contentment or happiness with what we have and don't have, with where we are at any given point along our journey. So start by being authentic. Wherever you are, whatever you choose to do, be true to spirit. No holding back, no divisions and walls and partitions and compartmentalizing, and give all, whatever that is. And the divine creators and the ancestors will bless you. You will see fruitfulness in your work. Clarity, wisdom, understanding comes with time, comes with practice. But you got to be true to that practice to even judge accurately whether you got your investment or not. And many of us are too quick to not invest. We want the shortcut, but we want maximum rewards for the shortcut. How many programs have you joined? How many credit cards have you accepted? How many telephone service plans have you bought to get that quick discount, only to then later drop the program at the end of the 30 days or the 90 days or whatever that set trial period is? I've done it. Tried this for free for a trial period, and then 24 hours before the end of the period, cancel the service. That is the American way. That is our attitude about God. That is our attitude about our health and our bodies. That is our attitude about commitment to relationships. We need to work on our authentic commitment to a thing. And I can guarantee you, as a result-oriented with a guarantee type practitioner, that you will see advantages to your commitment. It could be your job, whatever your job is. If you know you have to be there, if you know you have to pay your bills, the bills, commit to that thing for right now, for just for today. Your attitude will be different. Your rewards will be different. The energy of the people around you will be different. Doesn't mean you can't continue to plan for the future, to work towards something else. But while you're there, commit. If you're going to be there just to sort of be half-assed, don't be there. Don't be there. I would rather you not serve my food. I would rather you not be my customer service representative. I would rather you not be my padrino. If you're not committed for long-term success. Our phone number is area code 347-215-8967. We have several people on the line. Please know that I will take your questions, comments, or requests. I will be here to the end of the show today on this Congo Square Sunday. I will not be going to Congo Square personally, but I will be meeting y'all at Ashe at 6 o'clock. Y'all know what I'm talking about, and you know I can't really say what I'm talking about. But be there, be on point. Bring your offerings and your donations, and let us all celebrate together. I will be forward with more of the Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince momentarily, remembering that all is indeed a blessing. Call me at 347-215-8967, press number 1, and I will take your questions, comments, and requests. All is a blessing. Ashe.
Oba, oba, la mie. Tagna vossa mwete perdia, te li ma te sache. Oba, oba, la mie. Oba, oba.
Indeed, all is truly a blessing. As descendants of the Middle Passage and the enslavement, we have an obligation to continue the life, the spirit, the ashe, if you will, of that of those who came before us. We are representative of that survival. We are ultimately representative of the overcoming of that trial and that tribulation. So we are not here by accident. We are not here to just sort of get by day to day and be a part of the system. But we have an obligation to change. We have an obligation to healing. We have an obligation to the continued survival of the will and love of our ancestors through us, even now in this modern time. We must reconnect with who we are, who we were, and who we are to become. They are intricately linked together. And there are many who are still in denial of slavery, still in denial of oppression, still in denial of racism, still in denial of all the forces that still operate to actively keep us enslaved within our minds, our bodies, and our spirit. I am here for the duration. I am here for the duration. There's no amount of challenge. There's no amount of struggle. There's no amount of tribulation that can effectively move me from my square. And that which I am crystal clear in my understanding of my purpose. I've seen too much. My understanding is too broad in terms of the value that we all present for even being present today, for having survived a system designed to eliminate us, remove us, to destroy us. And I bring that legacy, that history, that understanding to what I do in terms of spirituality and religion. The blood, sweat, the tears of our ancestors will not be in vain. Not on my watch, not on my hands. And indeed, if I am so empowered, not on the hands and watch of anyone that I make contact with, directly or indirectly. For I am wise enough to know wise enough to understand the power of words cannot be overstated. But the power of the spirit conveyed in imagery and picture and art is infinite. No more powerful and deeper words can be spoken than that which goes unsaid, but is spoken directly from within consciousness. And at some point, I'm going to do a whole series of shows on the connection between the power of the spoken word, the mind and thoughts, and the eye. There are cultures all around the world with legendary tales and understanding about the eye and the power of the eye and the evil eye and all the other ways of understanding. Certain truth cannot be denied once penetrated the veils of sight and understanding. It can cause you to ponder, to question, to wonder, to mystery, but it is the beginning of fruitful seeds of wisdom planted and a developing understanding fertilized through the eye. And let me say, I'm clever. I am gifted in articulation, but I don't like to talk. I like to argue even less. And a great deal of what goes on in social networking is argument over shallow things, while much broader, more important things go overlooked or ignored. And it's not always enough to type that out in a blog or do it up in a video. Some people have those skills. Queenie Fama has those skills. Queenie Fama can work on video. I can't do it. Not in that way. But I can speak volumes. And I learned this years ago. I can speak volumes with imagery. And now we know we have, you know, photoshopping and this, that, and the other. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the documentation of life. I'm talking about what Abhinav Rukia Montage does. I'm talking about what Liz Kaplan did. I'm talking about what artists do. Maurice Wilson in Chicago does, is to document life, to document wisdom through imagery. Some things cannot be argued once they penetrate the eye. And I post a lot. I think I've posted over 3,000 photos just in Facebook. And there's always a theme. There's always a message. I don't always say what it is. And that's why sometimes I'm irritated by those of you who are too lazy to do any research about what you're looking at. Because you're looking at a lot. And if I answered your questions literally, I would be a master author posting voluminous books every day just on Facebook, and I wouldn't have time to do anything else. So even in the answers that I do give, you're shortchanging yourself if that's okay for you and you turn and walk away. If it doesn't pierce your consciousness enough for you to dig deeper, then I'm not doing my job, and you're not doing your job either as a thinking, conscious, spiritual, evolving God. it's critical that we become critical thinkers. It's critical that we not be critical, because that's become a new art form. Those of you who just sort of sit back in the social networks just to be critical. I post a lot of pictures, and some of you have nothing to say about anything unless you think you found something to criticize, and then you have something to say. The other 360 days of the year, you know, it would be too much like you to even acknowledge the material. And don't think I don't get that. I'm talking to you right now about the power of what is not being said. True, authentic, intuitive, psychics, empaths operate in the realm of that which is not said and can only be perceived intuitively, received. So, for all the stuff that we complain about that's being posted, there's a wealth of other stuff that's not being posted, that's being said every day by what we do post. We do. Our lack of, if you will, on one thing is only exasperated by our over-focus on something else. One of those topics is homosexuality. Men, quote-unquote heterosexual men, who are consistently posting about homosexuals. All my sisters were taught at a very young age to question that. Too much going on there. Too much involvement there. For somebody who's not a part of that environment. I almost said lifestyle. I don't like lifestyle because it's not a lifestyle. There is a lifestyle that we have now come to identify in the West with certain behaviors. Just like saggy pants. But saggy pants does not mean that every young black kid you see with saggy pants is a gangster. Or a wannabe gangster, or is even emulating gangsters. So it works both ways. I call it the tricknology. It works both ways. So pay attention to people who only see things in a very one-sided way. And learn to highlight on what is not being said. The sleight of hand artist, the pickpocket, draws your attention away from one thing by doing something else over here. So you're focused in on this. It doesn't have to be a dramatic display. It can be a subtle display that causes a involuntary, almost automatic human response. You're in a crowded subway. Somebody touches your backside. Your natural response is to turn and look, even if you're not thinking about it, even if you're conscious of the fact that, you know, if 300 people packed in this car, your immediate response is to go for that, I was touched, while someone else goes in your bag and takes your wallet. And this is how we sort of navigate life. Many of us have blinders on. Many of us are using rose colored. Many of us are only viewing life by a preset, pre-described scope. There's only a small percentage of us who are truly operating in the realm of brilliant God consciousness, which requires us to open our awareness to something beyond ourselves, something beyond our own immediate gratification, something even beyond our own spiritual gratification. Because that's the new thing. It's all spiritual, and I'm getting myself together. It's all about me, and it's just the new face of selfishness, the new face. Because those are all oxymorons weighed against spirit. Spirit requires that you interact. Spirit requires that you participate. Spirit requires that you be involved. And being involved means that everyone is not always going to be at the same place at the same time. It's natural to life. I will be forward tomorrow, high noon, West Central Standard Time, here on Blog Talk Radio, remembering that all is truly and indeed a book. Ashe, Ashe, and Ashe.
Right hand.